Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In our previous discussion on what happens after death, we spoke about factors that could protect a person from the punishment of the grave. Dying as a shaheed, dying from an abdominal disease, dying whilst guarding the borders, passing away on a Friday, reciting Surah Mulk daily. But in essence, it's about living the good life, a life in the obedience of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That is what will protect you. Now that the person has passed on, right, they can't do anything for themselves. How can we benefit them? There are a few ways. One is to perform the janazah salah for the deceased and to try and be there in big numbers. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whenever a Muslim person dies and a group of Muslims numbering 100 pray janazah for him, all interceding on his behalf, their intercession is granted by Allah and he is forgiven. This narration is in Sahih Muslim. In some narrations, it's mentioned 40. Meaning a large number of people. So we mustn't delay in the burial, but at the same time, we must all try and attend to increase the numbers so that the chances of that person's being forgiven are increased. And then inshallah, the day when we pass on, people will come in large numbers to perform our janazah salah. So we should try and reach these numbers, at least 40, if not 100 and beyond that. Then what we normally refer to as Sadaqa Jariya or Thawab Jariya. Allah talks in Surah Yasin, Allah says, Inna nahnu nuhyil mawta. We are the ones who give life to the dead. Wa naktubu ma qaddamu. We write that which you have done in your lifetime and send forth to the akhirah. Wa atharahum. And the trails that you leave behind, the footsteps that you leave behind, the effects of the deeds that you leave behind. And that is where the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talks about the best that a man can leave behind after his death are three things. A righteous child who makes dua for him. An ongoing sadaqah whose rewards continue to reach him. And a knowledge that continues to be implemented after him. So you taught someone Surah Fatiha, they taught somebody else, they taught somebody else, they taught somebody else. You long dead, but the reward will continue to be written in your book of good deeds. You built a masjid, you dug a borehole, you invested in a project. That is Thawab-e Jariya. Knowledge, Thawab-e Jariya. Those two things we can understand. Righteous child, because you gave the child the right upbringing. Now, as a result of you giving them the right upbringing, they make dua for you. That dua will benefit you. They ask Allah to forgive you. Or they now realize that they must make sadaqa jariya on your behalf. Like Aisha radiallahu anha reports that a man asked Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my mother had a sudden death and did not have a chance to bequeath anything. Had she been able to do, I think she would have given sadaqa. Would she or I get any reward if I give sadaqa on her behalf? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes. So give sadaqa on her behalf. This narration is in Bukhari. So it's only the child that was given the right tarbiyah and upbringing by the parent that will be able to benefit the parent after they've passed on. But the parent must be Muslim, or the person that you're attempting to benefit must be Muslim. If they are non-Muslim, then even Ibrahim alayhi salam could not intercede on behalf of his father. Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam could not intercede on behalf of his uncle. Nuh alayhi salam could not intercede on behalf of his son. Allah told him, innahu laysa min ahlik. He may be biologically your child, but Islamically he's not your child. He's not a Muslim. وَمَا كَانَ اسْتِغْفَارُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ لِأَبِيهِ إِلَّا عَمَّ مَوْعِدَةٍ وَعَدَهَا إِيَّاهِ فَلَمَّا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ أَنَّهُ عَدُوٌّ لِلَّهِ. That Ibrahim, your father is your father, but he's an enemy to Allah because he does not worship, he did not believe in the oneness of Allah. So you can't make dua for him. Then another way we can benefit the deceased is to settle their affairs for them, right? If they had debt, we know that now they are restrained. Your brother is captive because of his death. Go pay it out for him. This is a narration of Ahmad and Ibn Majah. So pay the debt of someone who has passed on to relieve them. If there are any affairs of theirs that need to be settled, then go and settle it so that they get the benefit and you get the reward. And make dua. Make dua for their forgiveness. Make dua for ease for them in the grave, in the barzakh, for expansion of the grave, for alleviating of any punishment if there is. Allah talks about this being a quality of the Sahaba in Surah Al-Hashr, where Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ. And those who came into the faith after them, يَقُولُونَ, they say, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا. O Allah, forgive us. وَالْإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. And our brothers who have preceded us in iman. And our brothers who have preceded us in iman. So a Muslim's dua for his brother in his absence is readily accepted by Allah. Allah has an angel appointed to stand by our head. And every time we make dua for a brother in his absence, whether he's alive and therefore he's absent, you know, he's not near us, or he's more absent when he has passed away, the angel says, Ameen, and for you the same. Ameen, and for you the same. This narration is in Sahih Muslim. So these are a few ways that we can benefit the deceased. May Allah grant us the ability to do so, and may Allah grant the ability to those after us to do the same for us. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen.